MK Podcast.
So, I promise this isn't going to take very long, but I bought another terrible beverage, and I'd like to get it out of the way.
God damn it. Well, surprise, Corey. I'm drinking a Monster Energy Zero Sugar Ultra Fiesta.
That's like a disaster. What is the Ultra Fiesta?
Could not tell you what this tastes like for $1 million.
So, that's upsetting. I can tell you...
Wait, no, I got it. You ever chew Fruit Stripe gum?
Yes.
It tastes like if you take all the Fruit Stripe gum pieces and chew them all at once.
Bad.
Or good.
Or good, I guess. Different strokes.
It's like a teal can, though. It was very attractive.
It takes a village to raise a beverage. So on my way home today, I drank an entire Red Bull. So I'm going to preface this with, I'm not drinking the whole thing. I'm not.
What color Red Bull was it? Was it normal. Just basic Red Bull? Normal? Sugar-free? Yeah.
No, sugar full.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude.
For men.
For sugar full for baby boys.
Sugar full for boys. Chicken soup for the boys. And so the beverage that I have in my hand right now truly terrifies me, Neil.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So no sugar, no calories.
Smart. Good choices.
Extra caffeine.
Let's say I'm not a dietitian. I don't know if those are actually good choices or not.
Diet Coke Extra Toasted Vanilla.
Holy shit.
I don't know what half that shit means, but
what's
you know.
Is the extra caffeine? Oh, man. I heard that bottle pop.
Baby bottle pop. That's why it's for baby boys. The smell is nothing. Like, you could tell me this was any liquid and I might believe you.
Does it smell like water?
Let me smell my glass of water and compare.
Water's got a smell.
I can very faintly smell something, but like hardly, which is kind of almost scarier.
You have a weird obsession. Let me smell this monster. Hold on.
It sets you up for the taste you're about to have.
Smells like a pack of Fruit Stripe gum.
Do you think fucking sommeliers just smell it because they feel like it? Nah, it's a part of the experience.
Yeah, but they're not tasting extra toasted Coke vanilla.
That's true. They're not. I am, though. Bottoms up. Literally not as... I don't taste the vanilla at all.
Really? Well, it's toasted. They burnt it. So it just went around the corner and tastes like regular Coca-Cola, probably. What is toasted? Because they have...
This they doesn't have regular, taste vanilla-y at all.
Because they have regular vanilla Coke, right? And they have vanilla Coke Zero. I think they have cherry vanilla Coke Zero. They have a vanilla Coke with coffee. You can definitely taste the vanilla in that.
Oh, fuck. Are we going to have to drink the new Coke Zero?
I'm going to drink it by default because that's what I drink is Coke Zero. Let's get out of this.
I'm done, by the way. I'm not drinking the rest of that. It didn't taste that bad. There's no vanilla to note. It was underwhelming, and I'm sorry.
Is it just like a basic Diet Coke at this point?
Sort of tasted like Diet Coke, and I don't need all that caffeine in my life.
Extra caffeine. Why did they... Is that what they did? Hold on. I got a lot of irons in the fire here. Let me tackle these things in order. First of all, I don't give a fuck that they're changing the Coke Zero formula. They already changed it once. I still drank it. It's fine. I don't care. Somebody asked my opinion on Crystal Pepsi. My opinion is that all sodas should be clear.
Why?
Because the caramel and shit's like the worst part for your teeth. Because if you're drinking sugar-free, you know, you're not getting all that sugar in there. The caramel still fucks your teeth up.
It's my secret. I have no teeth.
Oh, shit.
That's not true. I don't know why I said that.
Also, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a dentist. I'm not a dietitian. Don't take anything that I said as fact or advice. I'm a dummy dum-dum.
Remember the last time you heard us talk about bodies and how uninformed that was?
Right.
Carry that over into all of our medical advice.
Remember when I compared human beings to chicken nuggets? Yeah. Lastly, fuck, I lost it.
Podcast is over, folks. It's been a real one.
No. I'm going to find this.
You said lastly.
Vanilla Coke here. Something extra. It's gone. It's gone forever. I'll remember it in the middle of a different discussion on this show. And
that's fine.
Oh, that's right. Who cares? Let's move on. Welcome to MK PodQuest, Earth Realmers. Should we call our listeners Earth Realmers?
It's not inaccurate.
Could we call them, how about if we call them mortals, right? Because you know how Raiden's always going on about mortals this and mortals that.
And Raiden's like a role model that should be emulated.
So condescending, like, oh, you wacky mortals, right? Let's all be mortals together. What's up, mortals?
Have we ever used PodQuesters?
That's how Paul refers to us.
Oh, that's why that was in my mind. So that one's taken. Yeah,
that's taken. And then I think Dave refers to us as the PodQuest boys. It's pretty tight.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know what? Yeah, I think... What's up, mortals? It's your PodQuest boys. Neil and Corey.
That's us. We're the ones, and we're here.
No better time to like start an intro where we introduce ourselves than 40 episodes into a podcast run.
And 7 minutes into this.
We're doing something different this week because we're just kind of fucking tired of talking about Defenders of the Realm for a minute. And there's other Mortal Kombat shit to talk about. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so.
We're also going to talk about Defenders of the Realm a little bit in this. But first, dude, I want to play a listener message from a listener named Dakota. He sent in a few, but this one was just fucking... This one was just really fucking cool. So let's hear what our listener Dakota had to say.
Let's.
Hey, guys. I know I'm behind on your podcast. I'm not up to date. I'm on the 1995 movie one right now. I'm on round two. I was driving home from work out here in L.A., and you were going through all the credits for Kenneth Edwards, and you said that he founded the Shan Tung Kung Fu Academy in Pasadena, California. And I was like, wait, what? Where? I live in Pasadena. And I was just like, you got to be fucking kidding me right now. I looked it up. I immediately drove over here, and I walked in. He was in there by himself. I immediately recognized him. I introduced myself. We talked for about a half hour. I asked him if he teaches kids. I have a 5.5-year-old daughter. He does. She's going to be coming here for lessons relatively soon. But we basically shared each other's life stories with one another for a half hour, and it's all thanks to you guys. So fucking thank you. This is such a happy day for me.
Wow, what the fuck?
How cool is that, dude?
Holy shit.
Right? That's insane.
We changed a child's life.
She's going to get in there with Art Lean himself and learn how to, whoop ass.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's so cool.
So my question is... Holy shit.
Thanks, Dakota. That's wild.
At what point do we hit Dakota up to talk to his daughter's sensei to try to get him to come on the show?
I mean, you know, we gotta give it a few lessons, kind of grease the wheels a little bit.
Yeah. Now, I do want to say he did send that message a while ago. It took it just because of scheduling. Took me a little bit of time to work it in here. But she has, from last I heard, she had started her first lesson with Kenneth Edwards.
This is the simply the craziest shit I have ever heard in my life.
Right? That's so cool.
Yeah, weird.
I just wanted to share that. And also as an excuse to remind us of a pretty good Mortal Kombat movie. Because we're going to talk about kind of a lousy one again, aren't we?
Yeah, it's kind of our whole bag.
Let's set up for the listeners who are still listening after having their minds blown by that voice message what we're going to run through on this episode. We are going to kick things off by talking about the recently released deleted scenes from Mortal Kombat 2021, at least the ones we were able to find on YouTube, because I haven't bought the Blu-ray yet. Have you bought the Blu-ray?
Can't say that I have. Not high on my priority list.
The YouTube video does say all deleted scenes. They could be liars, but we're going to talk about those.
They definitely should have deleted a few more.
Probably.
Maybe, I don't know, like 20, 30, 40 of them.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to talk about the deleted scenes from Mortal Kombat 2021. We're going to talk about the relatively recently released Red Band trailer for the new animated Mortal Kombat movie coming out at the end of August. Mortal Kombat Battle for the Realms, or is it Battle of the Realms?
I believe it's Battle of the Realms.
Battle of the Realms, right. The gritty reboot of Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm.
Yeah, that's why they both have Realm in the name.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then we're going to, you know, last episode I put out a call for some listeners to share their experience with Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. And then I also hit a bunch of people up on my own individually to squeeze some submissions out of them. So we got voice messages aplenty, including one from all three of the Combat Time podcast boys.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Then after that, we're going to we got a little bit of show business to talk about. So
there ain't no business like show business.
All right. So we're going to get the air horns in for sure.
This is a dumb show. What do I do with the rest of this fucking borderline energy Coke that I don't want to drink?
Do you want to like cruelly prank a roommate?
One of my roommates does say that he's nursing a headache at the moment. Maybe I tell him this is some kind of elixir.
Well, caffeine's supposed to help with that stuff, right?
I was told that caffeine makes headaches worse.
Caffeine makes headaches worse if you drink a bunch of caffeine and then stop drinking it or don't drink enough.
That's called addiction, Neil.
Yes, it is, Corey.
Welcome to a very special episode of MK Podcast where we're not going to do all that shit we just said and we're going to talk to you about addiction.
And cue the special episode music. Ta-da. You want to just jump into talking about these Mortal Kombat 2021 deleted scenes?
Yeah, we can start there.
I got some thoughts.
I guess I technically have some.
So there was four, right? I'm just going to give a quick overview. There's one. It's when Cole and Sonya are on the plane with Kano and the pilot who may or may not be Kano's mom. And Cole's having like a vision of Scorpion in his head while he's sleeping. Then we've got a deleted scene with Melina and Shang Tsung where Shang Tsung acts like a piece of shit. We got one where Liu Kang and Kung Lao are talking to Raiden in a garden and talking about how the Earthrealmers are dunces and Sonya should be sent home. And then we got one where Sub-Zero is confronting Shang Tsung about the heir of Hanzo Hisashi still being alive, which cuts abruptly, feels incomplete. Maybe we didn't catch the whole version of that scene, or maybe we did, and that's why it got cut, because it was useless.
Something tells me it's the latter.
Overall, I don't understand why they were cut, but I also don't think I really recognize what they would have added. The only one that I think would have added something to the narrative is this one where Cole's like having a vision, a confrontation with Scorpion, with Hanzo Hisashi in his head in what looks like Netherrealm.
It's an extension of the like vision he has. That's also in the trailer. That's very, very brief.
Yeah, I think, well, like in the final version of the movie, we got like maybe one or two scenes where that happens to him. Like, I think he sees Hanzo in a mirror.
Yes, he does.
And I think it may happen one more time. The only reason I think it might have helped is it might have helped connect the beginning and the ending of the movie to the boring middle of it. Because that was like the big thing is that like the...
That the whole movie is boring as shit.
The intro felt so disjointed. The Hanzo Hisashi Bihan story felt so disjointed from the rest of the movie that like we got like two flashes of Hanzo and then Cole sort of being hunted and knowing that he's the descendant of Hanzo. That's the only connection. So I think another scene, yeah, just showing that connection might have strengthened it a little bit for me. Not much. It certainly wouldn't have hurt things. And we would have gotten like another pretty fucking cool set piece, right? Because that was like a fiery hell dimension. Like that was definitely the Nether Realm and it looked cool. And the rest of this movie doesn't look cool.
Yeah. I gotta be honest. It's not that cool. It kind of fits with the rest of the movie. And I'd like to pivot to the second half of that scene if you'll indulge me, because you've kind of covered the important part where we just get a lot more Kano. And I've never been more instantly reminded of why I hate a character than the extended version of that fucking Kano discussion.
Right.
Fun fact, the the deleted scenes are subtitled and they keep saying that they're talking about a dude named Jared. And I'm like 90% yes. Sure they're saying Jarek.
They're like, saying Jarek, 100%.
Yeah. But it's just a bunch of lame fucking doo-doo potty humor. And, like, some questionable thoughts about being chased by tribesmen in the jungle. And yeah, it just doesn't hit at all. It sounds juvenile and stupid.
Two thoughts. First, that tribesman joke felt like a callback to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I don't care if that's what it was.
I mean, that doesn't mean it was good. I'm just saying. Like, an intentional reference to that. And like, and then like his glee at Mortal Kombat 4 character, Black Dragon member Jarek, probably having his head on a spear right now. It was just kind of like, all right, yeah, we get it.
Wow, we get it. You guys have heard of Mortal Kombat. Crazy.
Yeah, that kind of bleeds into my like how the finished movie felt like it had all the fun Mortal Kombat stuff that I care about relegated to the background as props and shit like that. I did think it was kind of interesting, though, in that Cole dream, that Hanzo Cole dream, that it seemed like at one point Cole was getting sort of possessed by Scorpion. And that was giving me, this is probably me reaching, giving me some major like Takeda, the spirit of Scorpion invading or possessing another person vibes from Mortal Kombat Conquest. Wasn't that like a rumored direction that the movie was going at in some point, that Cole was essentially going to turn into Scorpion at the end of the movie?
I think that's right.
Something I remember hearing or reading something about that at some point. So I feel like it was, maybe that's why they cut it, because it was implying more of that as opposed to what we ended up getting, where Cole's his own character who's not just Scorpion 2.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think every scene here just kind of underscores an aspect of why this movie is not good. It distills it into a very succinct 4-minute experience. Like, in the next scene, if I may.
Yes, please.
Melina is going to talk to Shang Tsung in, like,
God, my
some...
chair is so squeaky right now.
It's a ko-fi.com/mkpodquiz. Get Neil a squeaky chair. And so Melina's there, and she's like, Reptile fucking ate it, and shit's going south. Your plan isn't working.
Yeah.
And Shang Tsung doesn't take especially kindly to that. It's kind of nice seeing Melina sort of stand up to him a little bit, but proceeds to...
How brief it is.
Yeah, and the answer's extremely. And then he gets all like, I created you, and you're defying me, and I'm going to... I could fucking kill your ass. And he's like holding her out like over a pit, and then just like lets her go and does this very gregarious, like, oh, I forgive you, it's fine. And then in an admittedly kind of cool end of the scene, she leaves and he immediately loses his composure and just sucks the soul out of a random guard.
Yeah.
Which I kind of liked that, but
that's, go ahead. Sorry. Finish your thought.
It's just another example of, wow, even in attempting to give Melina more to do, you've vastly underutilized both of these characters.
Now, what it did remind me of, very specifically, is the Bruce Locke, Shang Tsung, and Vorpax dynamic in the Cobalt Mines in Mortal Kombat Conquest.
It's definitely closer to that.
Right.
It's a little bit less fun, because while not all the aspects of the Shang Tsung Vorpax relationship are good,
many of them are not,
it is almost always fun. Many of them are not, actually. Most of it's bad. However, the performances are good and they're fun. I'm not saying that these are bad. In fact, I like Shang Tsung quite a bit here, but it's just like, it's very underwhelming.
Sure.
And then it's just like, okay. And like, in the flow of the film, it's like, what do we get out of this? Just that, like, Shang Tsung can suck souls. I feel like we know that.
Also, the Outworld set in this sucks. It's
got
just
it.
A bunch of sticks.
I think that's got to be unfinished, right?
It's like, just a bunch of sticks.
They would have CG'd it up a little bit. Zhuzhed it up a little bit. Zhuzhined it up a little bit.
Yeah, they needed to Zhuzhen it up a little bit for sure. We needed like BDSM extras walking around the background instead of all these people in robes.
Yeah.
We needed like shirtless monks on chains and, you know, crazy fishnets lady.
There is some kind of unfinished version of the score happening, and I actually like the music quite a lot. It's this weird, very unsettling,
like a
rumbly sound.
Yes, like this rumble over the whole scene.
I actually really like that, to its credit. I do think it sounds unfinished also, but...
I think so, too.
So
here's a quick pitch for how they could include this scene in the movie and make the movie easily 10 times better. It's not Melina in the scene. We reveal that Vorpax has been here all along.
Okay, you can stop there and the movie's better.
She's not fighting. She's his advisor, right? So it's not Melina coming to him. It's Vorpax coming to him as like the big player behind the scenes, who is also planning on double crossing and betraying Shang Tsung as a Vorpax would want to do. Especially now that we know, thanks to the Mortal Kombat 10 comics, that the Korean people are canon in the Mortal Kombat video game universe. Yeah, put Vorpax in there. Make this a Shang Tsung Vorpax scene. And then Melina can still be in the movie and still die, because who the fuck cares?
Yeah, you know, I really just think that they should put Vorpax in the movie.
Would have made it better. All right, next scene. Kung Lao and Liu Kang.
Next scene, a.k.a. I wish I could get this minute of my life back.
It's the boys, it's the Shaolin boys, and they're talking
to
Raiden. The
only redeeming quality of this scene, I will say it right now.
Say it.
Is that Liu Kang and Kung Lao are here.
That's
it. I just want to look at those guys, and I'm good.
They look good. good actors, good fighters, like giving them another scene was a good idea.
I'll take it. Now, if they could just rewrite it and make it not garbage.
Yes, because what are they saying? They're telling Raiden,
"We worry they will not find their arcanas in time," is an actual line.
And that they want, that Kung Lao, I think, specifically says, you should send Sonya Blade away from here.
Yeah, right? He's like, Sonya's washed, get her out.
Boys only.
Yeah, boys only. Boys rule. Also, this whole scene serves only as impetus to explain why they start negging Kano. Because yeah. Rin's like, oh, you just got to utilize their weaknesses, bro. It's simple.
Go abuse them.
Yeah. And it's just hilarious, hilariously obvious dialogue, and they're just standing in some random place, and it's just shot reverse shot. It's really stupid. Bad scene.
Raiden's like, haven't you guys read the game?
Yeah, and it's like, they walk up to Raiden, and Raiden's just like, ah, yes, Liu Kang and Kung Lao. And it's like, wow, too, I love also saying my friends' names out loud when I see them. It's just the thing to do.
Specifically, the game, penetrating the secret society of pickup artists.
Why did you use the word penetrating?
Because that's part of the game, bro.
Gross.
You gotta subtly make them think about fucking at all times.
Anyway, yeah, the best part of that scene is just that Max Kwong and Ludi Lin are in it.
Sure. It's a nice garden set. It's green. It's lush. The rest of the movie isn't. It would have been nice to see another set in this movie. I've said it before. I'll keep saying it until we get the special edition version where all the sets are changed and Vorpax is in it. Last scene. Nothing happens in this one. Sub-Zero's confronting Shang Tsung.
He makes Shang a little cold because he's a little upset. Yeah.
He's like, damn it, Shang. You lied to me. You knew Hanzo Hisashi's descendant was still alive. And Shang Tsung's like, I swear to you, I didn't. But it doesn't matter anyway. Nothing can stop us. This changes nothing or whatever. And Sub-Zero's like, this changes everything. And he grabs his arm and starts to like freeze him. And you see Shang Tsung get a little scared. Maybe.
He's a little surprised that Sub-Zero had it in him.
Sure. Then the scene cuts off, though. I don't know if we just didn't see the rest of it.
I think that maybe that was more like an alternate cut of that scene rather than a deleted full scene. Right. I get the impression that the end of that scene in the deleted version is the end of the scene that's in the movie.
Okay.
And they cut out like an interstitial bit.
Right. So then he just says like, I am Sub-Zero. And he walks off.
Yeah. So my final note just says, okay, so these wouldn't really solve the movie at all.
Not really.
That's my take on that. I don't even think it was that interesting to watch them. But sometimes like you get the deleted scenes of a movie and you're like, it clarifies some level of the creative vision. And you're like, okay, sure. My understanding of this film has evolved somewhat. This did not accomplish that. This was just 4 minutes and 40 seconds of fucking unfinished movie footage.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't help anything. Didn't really hurt anything either.
I mean, I had to see Kano again.
Sure. Okay. So it hurt you a little bit. My dumb Mortal Kombat brain was just like, ha ha, Jarek. Because I'm a little baby
I
boy.
Clapped. They said Jarek and I clapped.
Yeah.
It's over, Jarek.
But then I was immediately like, wait, why do I give a fuck about Jarek? He sucks.
And he's dead as well. He's also dead.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Can I take this opportunity to ask if you'd like to talk about Mortal Kombat Legends Battle of the Realms Red Band trailer?
Hell yeah. Let's talk about Mortal Kombat Legends Battle of the Realms, the Red Band trailer.
I'd like to preface this with the fact that this trailer came out like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. I did not watch it when it came out. Sure. I have seen the trailer once.
Yeah.
This morning, and beyond that, I don't have a single fucking idea about anything else going on in this movie beyond what they show in the trailer, which is people are going to fight, which sure sounds like Mortal Kombat to me. So
you saw Scorpion's Revenge, correct?
Yeah.
So this is a sequel to that.
Right. Here's the thing. What if I told you I don't really remember like the plot of Scorpion? Scorpion's looking for revenge, certainly.
Sure. It was the plot of Mortal Kombat 1, but chopped and screwed a little bit.
Right. This is that, except Devor is here.
Devor is here. This is like, this is a gritty reboot of Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. They even brought Striker in.
And he fucking sucks as always.
It looks like he was hit in the face with a frying pan.
He looks like he was hit in the face with a frying pan, and he's a fucking dummy. He's a dumb idiot.
Of course he is.
Was this some kind of karate tournament? Yeah, idiot. What the fuck did you think it was? They just explained to you that it would be a fighting tournament.
He's not a karate guy. He's a cop.
Yeah, no shit.
So I'm on record on this show claiming that Mortal Kombat Legends Scorpion's Revenge moved to the top of my Mortal Kombat movie list recently, just because I think it delivered all the stuff I'm looking for when I just want to like throw on some entertaining Mortal Kombat shit, right? So I'm pretty excited about this. It looks like it's going to be a combination of Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, probably focusing more on the story of Mortal Kombat 2, because there does seem to be a tournament, an Outworld tournament, like focus on it. And we do see like the Tarkatan gangs attacking people on the streets
briefly
in like a city. Like that's how the Red Band trailer opens. Now, here's some stuff that wasn't in the Red Band trailer, but is in the Green Band trailer that I honestly didn't realize when I sent it to you. They are going to show us the Cyber Lin Kuei in this. I think they're going to show us the whole cyber initiative. There's definitely shots with Sector and Cyrax hunting down Kuai Liang and Smoke, Tomas. I forget his last name, right? You definitely see Kuai Liang confronting Scorpion, you know, threatening him, you'll pay for killing my brother. And Kuai Liang is wearing like a standard Lin Kuei gi. He's not in the Sub-Zero suit yet. So I think we're going to get, at the very least, a much better version of the Defenders of the Realm episode, Old Friends Never Die, which is kind of cool. And my prediction is that they're going to use that, the Cyber Initiative, potentially as like the cold open to the movie. And I think that this movie is probably going to focus a little bit more on Liu Kang and the Earth Realmers as opposed to splitting time with Scorpion, which is something that was a criticism of the first one, that it wasn't a Liu Kang story.
Finally, something in Mortal Kombat that focuses on Liu Kang, am I right?
Well, now we've had two things that haven't focused on him. Mortal Kombat 2021 didn't either. I don't know, dude. This looks sick as hell. It looks violent and bloody like the last one. Johnny Cage's shadow kick looks ridiculously bad.
Yeah, it really does, huh?
I'm hoping they're going to fix that. Like, this was...
Trailer time.
It was just time to cut the trailer. Like, we'll fix this
later. Yeah, there's some cool shit in there. The art style is still pretty fun. There's a group of bad dudes. I do not like that we do see fatalities in the trailer.
Right.
Of, like, recognizable characters.
Yeah, you just straight up see Jax rip Kentaro's arms off it.
Clean off his body.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome.
He's not surviving that.
Well, he's got four. He only lost two, potentially.
Well, I mean, a lot of blood came out.
Sure. Kentaro's not living past this movie.
30. Because he smokes too many cigarettes. Somebody needs to tell Kentaro to stop.
Four. He smokes four at a time. He's got four arms. He's just tearing through his nine lives.
Dude, it's so fucked up how Kentaro died 8 times from too much smoking. And then on his last life, he got all 4 of his arms ripped off.
So
I don't know. Battle of the Realms looks pretty neat. The gang's all here. Yeah. People are going to fight. I'm not... I could give less of a shit that D'Vorah is here.
It's an interesting inclusion, though.
I have a question that will maybe make me sound stupid.
Yeah, no, this is a safe space, Corey.
Is that supposed to be Sindel? Who is that in the purple?
That is not Melina. Okay.
Who the fuck is that?
It's Melina.
I disagree.
It is. I know, because her face isn't all fanged up, but
and
it's
also,
credited
like the,
as
the
Melina.
Hair's weird. The weapons are wrong. The whole shit's wrong.
In the pink with like the head, like the crown kind of like head thing, right? Not a crown.
Hold on.
Like a head,
wait,
head armor.
No.
What did I miss?
Hold on. Wait. Maybe. Hang on. Everybody stop what you're doing.
If you're
driving into your car and you're listening right now, I need you to pull over and we're going to figure this out.
It was giving me Lee May vibes.
They're not going to put Lee May in this movie.
Well, who knows? They put D'Vorah in it.
I'm trying to make a joke, but I need to double check something. Somebody tell Sophia Benoit they finally put Lee May in a movie. Go listen to Mortal Podcast. That's who was on that episode.
Cutting that out. No free plugs for Ben.
Oh, there is a... hold on. So... okay, there is some kind of head thing on, but like just normal person face, very long hair, bit of a regal vibe. I just assumed it was Sindel and there was some tomfoolery afoot.
Right, like maybe it was a younger Sindel or something.
Sure.
No, it's Melina.
I try to not be a purist on this show because it's lame and a waste of everyone's time to do that, but I do not co-sign this fucking redesign. I'm just gonna tell. I'll tell you that for free. Also, who's hatless Raiden looking guy? Is it just Raiden with like that black thing that covers his entire head that gives him a weird goatee?
Yeah, Raiden's hatless in a bit of this.
Okay,
that's gonna be exciting to see, right?
Finally,
clearly a callback to Jeff Meek Raiden, who hardly ever wore the hat.
And then also, is Katana in the mix in this as well?
Katana's in this. She's got her Mortal Kombat 10 look. Jade is in this. I'm excited to see like a proper Jade.
Right.
And you know, Jade hasn't turned yet. I don't think Katana's even fully turned since we're only at Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah, more tool combat.
Reiko's in this.
Yeah, Reiko.
Reiko again.
It's Reiko if you took middle manager and new movie guy and sort of put them together.
Yeah, yeah. It's we call that Mortal Kombat 10 comic book Reiko.
That thing everybody's read.
After he conquered the Korean Empire in Outworld, it's that Reiko.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Devorah looks like someone who sells whippets. Like, the vibe I get's just all fucked up.
Mm-hmm. She's like, do you want to buy some death sticks? And Kentaro's like, fuck yeah, I do.
Big fucking death sticks energy. Who's Obi-Wan's friend? The diner man?
I don't know, dude.
What's that man's name? Shit.
I don't know.
Fuck, I know his name. Hang on, give me a sec. Let me see if I can remember it.
Star Wars diner.
Dex.
Dex?
Dexter Jetster.
Dex's Diner on Wikipedia.
Dexter Jetster, baby. That's who it is. Anyway, that's my joke for that.
All right, so why are we talking about Mortal Kombat Legends trailer, one of you may be out there asking? Well, we've got a reason. Late and I'm tired.
Why are we doing this? Well, trust us, we decided to.
Corey and I cannot stomach the idea of ending this podcast after Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, so we're going to keep it going. We are going to talk about both Mortal Kombat Legends films, and we're going to go ahead and talk about Mortal Kombat Legacy, both seasons. And we're even going to do a little episode at some point covering the Mortal Kombat Rebirth short and the leaked Mortal Kombat 10 web series footage as well. We're just going to watch all the Mortal Kombat stuff that's out there, talk about all of it. So look forward for more, hopefully better content, better, more enjoyable things to watch than this disaster of a cartoon show.
God
that
willing.
We are currently struggling to get through.
We'll get there, but it will be a tall order.
But I think the way it's going to time out, hopefully, is we're going to be able to talk about the Legends movies, like right as Battle of the Realms is getting released. So it'll be pretty timely at that point.
Finally, we're on time for something. We were too early to Conquest. Nobody, right? we're late to Defenders of the Realm. No one gives a shit now.
No one's even heard of Defenders of the Realm before. But yeah, I've seen all of this stuff. Corey, you haven't seen Mortal Kombat Legacy at all.
I had not heard of it, even.
We're going to split those episodes up into chunks. Those are shorts. Those are like 10 to 12 minutes each. So we're not going to do like one episode per 10 to 12 minute section. They're kind of like, at least the first season is like a two-parter and then a one-off episode and then a two-parter and a one-off episode, etc. So we're going to group it up with like a two-parter and a one-off as we go. We'll get more into that when we get closer, but yeah, that's the future of the show.
And naturally, there will be a couple Conquest-related things mixed in.
Of course there will. We are working on some other stuff that we're just not ready to announce yet.
That's true.
But someday. All right, but for now, let's spend a little bit of time talking about Defenders of the Realm. I reached out to a few friends of the show for their thoughts on Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. And I think we need to jump right into those if you're ready, Corey.
Who's up first?
I think we should check in with our friend Danny from the Next Issue podcast. Go look up Next Issue podcast on YouTube. Corey and I did a Mortal Kombat 2021 live stream with him. I jumped on one with Damian, Yassine, and Dave to talk about the Green Band trailer for Battle of the Realms. He's been watching the show along with the podcast for the first time. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hello there, combat crew. How's it going? Daniel here. I just wanted to send in a quick, we'll call it State of the Realm address so far on how we're doing with Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. I want to first give you guys a lot of props. I love the new intro, you know, embracing the Defenders of the Realm. I gotta say, so far we are about 7 episodes in, and the show's been, it's been a little hit or miss, but I think overall, watching week to week, like, it's entertaining. It's only 20 minutes long. It's a baby's cartoon. So I definitely get that it's not going to be perfect. Some of the highlights so far, first of all, combat time. I mean, come on, Sonya Blade being the combat time reckless warrior that we want her to be. So that's always been really good. I did one of the better things also enjoying for this this portion of the season is that trying to figure out the timeline of this, because obviously you guys have a lot of big theory boys of how this is incorporated into the canon of the movie. So that's very cool. Episode 2 with Scorpion, I think that was a highlight. I love Scorpion. I do think that the snake coming out of his hand is pretty interesting. I like all the foes we've battled so far. I think the most effective one has been Rain, because he just radiated that fuckboy energy. And then also, he made Liu Kang feel insecure in a way that I don't think any of the other warriors could, because it's not really about the physical, but it was about, you know, it was more of an emotional attack. So, you know, that was interesting. The episode with Smoke, I love seeing the background of it all. But yeah, I think overall this season has been a lot of fun so far. I'm really enjoying having Clancy Brown and Ron Perlman, although, man, I wish he voiced somebody else, but, you know, Raiden's always really good. Luke Perry as Sub-Zero is a little weird choice, but, you know, I guess hopefully Sub-Zero gets more of an arc upcoming in the, you know, whatever episodes we have left, so we'll see. I also want more screen time for Nightwolf and
fucking
Kiba.
Fucking same.
I think, right? Very cool overall characters. So yeah, I think you guys are killing so far in this portion of the podcast. And I'm just really enjoying all the additional supplemental material that y'all bring to each of the episodes, whether it be Cheez-Its, cheese nips, regular nips, all kinds of drinks. I hope Corey is doing well after that, all that blue Pepsi. And I hope to see more villains. I know we're still gonna see, maybe slight spoiler, but I've seen pictures of Quan Chi in this animated form. I imagine it's from this. So yeah, you know, keep killing it. The fact that you guys make lemonade out of all these lemons, because you have a 20-minute baby show and you deliver episodes that are an hour plus, especially now that I have a commute, it's great. I didn't remember that this was on the USA Network. That was also very interesting. But yeah, overall, you guys are killing it. Defenders of the Realm, although it's not as good as the other stuff you guys have covered, maybe better than Annihilation, I'm not sure. That might be an interesting, if you guys have any thoughts on that, let me know. If you guys at the end of the season, maybe think, you know, if you're ranking things, does this rank above Annihilation? Thanks for taking this message, and keep going with these episodes, because they've been a lot of fun. So take care, y'all. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Danny. I can tell you right now, I will watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation over this show any day of the week because it's shorter.
Yeah, it is. It also might genuinely be better.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more entertaining
as a viewing
sure.
experience. Certainly.
I don't think you could call Mortal Kombat Annihilation a lot of things. You could never call it boring.
Yeah, I agree. That's a fair statement.
All right. Once again, go check out Danny's show, Next Issue Podcast, on YouTube. They got that custom URL because people subscribed to their YouTube channel. We haven't gotten there yet.
And thank you, Danny, also for the kind words that we eschewed slightly.
Regular nips.
Out of being, for the sake of modesty, but we really do appreciate it, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's hear from our friend Dave, the Grin Reaper, over on YouTube. I'll put a link to that. He gets drunk and plays fighting game stories. You want to hear what Dave had to say about Defenders of the Realm?
Yeah, let's do it. I have this one ready this time.
Hey there, PodQuest boys.
See?
It's Dave yet again, here to give you my takes on Defenders of the Realm so far. And here's what it is. It's a bad show.
Yep.
It's the story's bad, usually. The characters are all horrible people. They all suck. And the only good one is Kiva, only probably because he can't talk. If he could talk, he'd be as insufferable as the rest. But that being said, I'm having a blast most of the time. Because it's just, I have a love, I guess, for 90s-ass, goofy-ass animation. It's so dumb. Whenever something dumb happens, I'm cracking up. Like a sound is just reused 2 seconds later, or like this hastily drawn dinosaur pops up, or it's like the same canned animation or canned sound, and I'm here for it. When Scorpion falls down a hole with a Hanna-Barbera slide whistle, like, I'm here for it. I'm having a blast. It's just charming to me because it's so bad. I'm cheering for it. I'm rooting for it. Ever watch the baby get up, try to walk, and he's unsteady, and you know he's going to fall down and start cracking up 2 seconds later, and you're cracking up with him, and everyone's just having a good time? That's what this movie is, watching a baby try and fail to walk. But you can't, it's doing a brutal. Bad job at it. But I can't help but be charmed by it. I don't know, I'm rooting for it. I'm having a great time.
I want to watch this baby run.
Except for a couple episodes, but most of the time, like, whenever something silly happens, mummies pop up or all that shit, demons, and I love it. And that's all I got, I guess. So, all I got left to say is thanks for making my Tuesdays less insufferable, and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. This has been Dave.
It has been Dave. That's true. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm sorry about your Tuesdays.
Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm is a baby struggling to walk.
Dude.
Jesus Christ.
By the end of this show, we're going to watch that baby fly.
Holy shit. So far, man, you know, my big question was, are we missing something with this show? Doesn't sound like we are.
No, I don't think there's simply anything to miss.
No.
I think they missed some stuff.
Sure,
in the show's construction.
Once again, check out Dave on YouTube, The Grin Reaper, his show Cheap Shots, where he gets drunk and plays fighting game story modes. It's a lot of fun. We got some other messages from our friends over there at the Combat Time podcast. And this is a show they named themselves after Sonya Blade's battle cry in Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. Their intro music includes, I think, 2, maybe 3 instances of her yelling combat time.
Combat time!
Yeah. And then I think It's Combat Time is also in there. So we've got messages from the whole gang over there, from Josh, Jay, and Yassine. And let's check out what they have to say about Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. Let's start with Josh.
Okay.
Combat time!
Hey, guys. So my thoughts on Defenders of the Realm. I don't think it's lost on anyone that it's a cringe fest of a show.
Yeah, it is.
But amazingly, I actually kind of like it, especially the smoke episode, because I already like the Sub-Zero smoke backstory, and I thought they brought it to life really well and had great emotion in it. And the final episode is epic as fuck, but the drama in that one actually felt like it mattered this time, and it was just a nice way to go out. It's epic as fuck, has a great original character, and you might notice that the art has a little bit of more effort put into it, I guess, to go all out. But you know, let's be honest, the art's pretty inconsistent throughout the whole show. And the writing's pretty cringe with its forced drama and having the characters be absolute assholes, usually to Sonya in particular. Well, maybe what I enjoyed about it was just my memories of those two particular episodes, but I do get a grin through the very first 2 episodes, which I actually showed to Jay and Yassine not too long ago. And guys, unlike you, I love the Sister Machine Gun song that's in episode 2. And I wish the whole series just had more Mortal Kombat,
I'm gonna be
more
honest.
Combat music in it. And I just said more in combat twice. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the series. Or not.
So Josh raises a good point here. I have also heard or read, like, the first, the episode that people seem to remember the most fondly is Old Friends Never Die, the Smoke Sub-Zero episode. I think that we could probably agree that that's the best one we've seen so far also.
Sure. To be honest, I don't know what my favorite one is. I don't think very highly of a lot of it.
I mean, that was definitely the one that stuck the most to canon, you know? So I think that gave it like a Mortal Kombat feel. I think my favorite episode might still be the Rain one, just from a plot construction perspective.
I'm a big Sister Machine Gun fan, so...
I've also heard that for the finale of this series, they did improve the animation for the final episode. I'm really interested on seeing... I'm stopping myself from looking ahead and seeing what that looks like. I just want to like see it and be blown away. Just like have like the beauty of the art wash over me. What do you think the odds are that I'm going to be satisfied?
Look, I don't want to let you down here.
Pretty low, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a listen to what Jay from the Combat Time podcast had to say. Are you ready?
It's combat time.
Combat time.
Hello, hello. This is Jay with Combat Time, and I just wanted to give a shout out real quick and say that Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm is sadly not a good show. In fact, it's kind of a terrible show. There's not too many things I can say good about it. The animation is stiff. The backgrounds are not very detailed. The storyline is kind of garbage. And the animation mistakes, man, that happen in this show are just kind of legendary. Like, I watched an episode before giving my shout out on this show and just, ugh. Like, it just reminds me so, for so many reasons, why it's bad. Probably the only couple of good things I can say about it is that Clancy Brown is awesome and amazing, and he voices Raiden in the show. And then we also have fun guys like Ron Perlman and Luke Perry also voicing their own characters. But even they give sort of mediocre performances for the type of actors that they are. But really, I don't have too much more to say about this show currently. It's just kind of a garbage show made for kids for Saturday morning cartoons. And honestly, Street Fighter the Animated Series was better. And that's kind of saying something. Anyway, that's all I got for this show. Thanks.
So, consensus is pretty strong so far, right? Dumb show for babies.
Bad show.
Garbage. Bad show. Clancy Brown, Ron Perlman are pretty good in it.
And Luke Perry, I'll give a shout out to out of habit.
Luke Perry's also here. Jay did mention Luke Perry. But yeah, this was absolutely like they were just here to cash a check, weren't they? Like, they recorded all 13 episodes of this show over a weekend.
And you know, I wouldn't hold that against them.
Probably got Clancy Brown a new motorcycle or something.
And that's pretty cool. Dude probably... Yeah. Shreds that thing up.
Let's hear from our third and final Combat Time homie, Yassine.
Combat Time!
Hey guys, this is Yassine from the Combat Time podcast. So, Defenders of the Realm. I remember watching this show back in the day on the USA Network. And even back then, it just wasn't that impressive of a show. I was both surprised and not surprised to learn that it was only 13 episodes. I'm not sure if I watched all of them back then, but I do have a drawing that I drew back in the day when I was like, 12 or so, of Liu Kang from that show. And I guess the reason why I drew
it
is because it's just such a simple design. And that's kind of one of the many, many problems of the show. The designs are just feel uninspired. They're not really that cool. And the animation is just, ooh, they were definitely cutting corners. I mean, everything from the designs to the quality of the animation, the backgrounds. There's a lot of weird stuff in this show, too. It was like in that era where everything was like trying to have that Batman aesthetic, you know, like the themed jets and the secret base and all that stuff. Question, why do the jets in this show, when they blow up, they turn into dragon flames? Whatever.
Because it's sick as hell.
And they have,
hell.
You know, the man in the chair, which is Nightwolf for whatever reason. But yeah, this show is ridiculous. Definitely going to do a rewatch at some point, but I tried to watch a few episodes recently. I watched the first two episodes, got to the reptile episode, and then I woke up during the smoke episode. So that kind of thanks for having me on the podcast.
All right. Yeah. Fell asleep and woke up later. That's about right.
Yeah, 100%.
Thank you, Josh, Jay, and Yassine for sending those in. If you guys haven't listened to the Combat Time podcast, if you're listening to this and not listening to that show, you should go listen to that show also. They cover everything like Mortal Kombat. They did an episode, I think their most recent episode, they covered Mortal Kombat Annihilation and also found themselves having a very hard time to talk about.
It's a difficult thing to get a grasp on.
And they also did an episode recently where they went back and replayed and reanalyzed Mortal Kombat 1.
Heard of it?
Yeah. So they're doing some really fun stuff over there. Go subscribe to Combat Time. I'm putting links to all this stuff in the episode description.
Combat Time. That's all I have to say is I want to keep saying Combat Time.
We got one more message because it wouldn't be a listener submission message episode if we didn't have something from our man in out world, the legendary Paul.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to what Paul has to say.
A reptile dysfunction. Good afternoon, Podquesters. Paul here from Melbourne. It is 2:54 p.m. Just thought you should know. So I hear you wanted to get some thoughts and some opinions on Defenders of the Realm. And I thought about kind of like just skipping this in some ways because I don't really have a childhood connection to this show. I didn't watch it when I was a kid. I didn't have any sort of nostalgia for it. In fact, like the first time I heard that this thing existed was when Neil said the words Defenders of the Realm on an episode of the podcast. So if that gives you any sense of like, you know, it's almost the exact opposite to Conquest, which was like something that I was oddly obsessed with. So I have to kind of like put my mind back and think about other sort of like Saturday morning cartoon shows that I watched at that time, you know, sort of early, like high school, late primary school sort of era. And I'm thinking to myself, like, would young me like this show? What other shows did I watch at that time? And there's such a weird mix of stuff. Like, I remember there were shows on, I just, you know, would watch whatever the hell was on TV at the time in the mornings before school. And there was stuff like Gargoyles, the animated series, all animated shows. These are Samurai Pizza Cats, which I think if I watch now, terribly racist, yeah. But at the time was very funny. There was like an anime style one called Techno Man, but Techno had a K in it. Kind of Mortal Kombat-ish now that I think about it. It had some like badass music and like cool looking characters and some awesome action sequences. And then I compare that to like what Defenders of the Realm is doing. And I think even by that comparison, Defenders of the Realm kind of falls short. In those other shows, there was some good characterization. There was some sort of clever narrative stuff. There was some comedy. There was things that landed, things that captured young me's attention. I think its biggest sin is that it's kind of boring. You know, like MK 2021, the live action film, right? I'm a bigger fan of that, and fan is a strong word, but I enjoyed that movie more than a lot of people that I know did. Especially MK fans who had lots of other problems with it, you know, along myriad problems. But I think the biggest fault that you could make that I would agree with Mortal Kombat 2021 is that at times it's just kind of boring, right? And I feel like in a world, in the universe that is Mortal Kombat, the extended Mortal Kombat universe, all the characters, all the realms, all the stories, all the crazy lore and the character relationships, like there is so much that you have to draw from to make something at least interesting. It doesn't have to be good, but it's got to be interesting. And I feel like the worst thing you can do if you're developing a Mortal Kombat property is have it be not interesting, have it be boring. And I feel like that's kind of Defenders of the Realm's worst sin. If you freeze frame Defenders of the Realm and you just kind of look at a still from it, it looks kind of incredible at times. Like there's this awesome sort of 90s style art, which is like back in vogue now. You have these tableaus of all these characters on the screen all at once doing cool MK stuff at each other. You have the Shokan race, who you only ever, you know, see one or two of those characters in a game, and you have a whole ton of them here, like standing at these cliffs looking badass, and it's like, oh my god, it's like Mortal Kombat and it's real and it's crazy. But just any time people move or say things, it goes bad. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I might be being hard on it. Again, nostalgia is a strong thing, and I'm sure that if I watched this as a kid, I would probably have, you know, more agreeable feelings towards it. Maybe I wouldn't think it was the greatest thing in the world, but I'm sure I wouldn't be disinterested, which is a sad place to be. But hey, one of the good things about having to listen to your good selves talk about this show is that I can listen to two people lose their minds over a period of weeks and decide that I want to pay to do that. What? Wait, why am I doing this?
Okay.
It's a valid question.
We should cut Paul off right there. It's ko-fi.com/mkpodquest.
If you want to make the same mistake Paul made.
Paul touches on something really interesting here. First of all, I definitely got distracted when he listed animated series because hell yeah, Gargoyles. Hell yeah, Techno Man. I watched
Techno Man
back in the day. Samurai Pizza Cats is real. Corey,
thought that was a bit.
I'm going to read you a little bit of trivia from the Samurai Pizza Cats IMDb page because this was a Japanese animated show that was dubbed over here. According to fan sites, the original Japanese script was lost and a completely new script had to be written. A different rumor states that the scripts were deliberately withheld in order to force the writing team to be creative and do their own interpretation of the stories.
Of just visuals?
So this is a cartoon that the writing staff was given the visuals of an episode and forced to write dialogue and storylines to match it.
That is a fucking train wreck. I love that.
But the more interesting thing that Paul touched on is that I've been taking screenshots for the YouTube versions of these episodes, right? And there's a lot of goofy shit that you can screen grab. There are also a lot of scenes in Defenders of the Realm that look cool, but they don't look cool in motion.
They don't look cool in motion
at
all.
They only look cool as still frames.
And even then, the cool factor varies dramatically.
It's interesting. And you know what? I'm going to say I kind of experienced this taking all the screenshots for Conquest too. You could find some like super just great looking stills from Mortal Kombat Conquest where the lighting is cool and the sets are cool and the characters all look hot.
The list goes on.
It can evoke. Yeah, the list goes on and on. It evokes a specific feeling. Now, Conquest also looks good in motion, but I do think that there's some good design choices in Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm that just get lost as soon as, like Paul said, people start moving and talking.
Yeah, it's not a total washout of a show. Like Paul said also, the biggest sin you can commit, I'd say in most entertainment, but I think in something with a concept like Mortal Kombat especially, is be boring. This show is remarkably boring.
And that seems to be the general consensus about this.
Yeah, it's...
This cartoon for babies.
If you're not going to carry a kid's attention if you can't fucking carry ours. Like, I don't know. I just think that there's so much being left on the table by being boring when you have so much at your disposal here.
Yeah, and especially when you do compare this to other cartoons from the era, Defenders of the Realm really is coming up short. I think it was Jay mentioned the Street Fighter animated series being better than this, and that's also a bad show. But he's not wrong. That's a better show than this is.
Right.
And I think all the other USA Action Extreme Team television shows probably look and play out a little bit better than Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. And guess what, Corey?
What?
We're going to have a chance to find out.
I'm trapped in
something
prison.
That we skipped over when we did our episode that we had to re-record for the Mortal Kombat Annihilation novelization and our Defenders of the Realm primer. Is we were just so fucking burnt out from having to do that thing over again that we just decided not even to talk about the fact that Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm crosses over with three other animated series from the USA Network.
It does.
And it all centers around a big orb. Now, the core of this crossover is that there is a character named the Warrior King chasing his magic orb through different dimensions and making stops in these different cartoon universes. And interacting with the people there.
Yes, I love the Warrior King's big orb. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to get so much mileage out of the word orb.
Big orb is the new big egg.
Big huge orb, large orb.
It's the new big arms. It's the new thick doors.
How do you want your orbs? Over easy.
So the television series that Defenders of the Realm crossed over are the Street Fighter animated series, the Savage Dragon animated series, and the Wing Commander Academy animated series. And we're going to talk about all four parts of this crossover.
We sure are.
Coming up next week, we've got episode 8, The Secret of Quan Chi. Following that, we're going to do an episode covering Street Fighter, episode 22, titled The Warrior King, and Savage Dragon, episode 21, titled Endgame. Then we're going to do an episode covering episode 9 of Defenders of the Realm, Resurrection, and episode 8 of Wing Commander Academy, Recreation, so that we can get the full experience of the Warrior King's journey through all of these different realms.
You know, we were just complaining about how boring the show is, but with such a compelling character, with such an elaborate and creative name like the Warrior King and his big orb, you know, what could possibly go wrong?
Here's the thing, man. I've seen the Street Fighter cartoon. It is much more entertaining than the Defenders of the Realm cartoon. I started the Savage Dragon episode. It looks crisp as fuck. And the Wing Commander show is a prequel to the Freddie Prinze Jr. movie, so it's got to be good.
Sure.
If anyone out there wants to watch along with this, Wing Commander Academy and Savage Dragon are both on Peacock Premium. The Savage Dragon cartoon is also streaming on the Roku channel. And I saw Street Fighter listed as streaming on Plex. There's also DVDs of all of these shows available. So again, that is Street Fighter Episode 22, The Warrior King, Savage Dragon Episode 21, Endgame, Defenders of the Realm Episode 9, Resurrection, Wing Commander Academy Episode 8, Recreation.
For the record, everybody, I just want to make clear what this last hour or so was. This cartoon is so bad, we decided that the only solution that we could feasibly come up with is watch other shows and then wash the taste of all of that out by the end with different Mortal Kombat things.
Yeah.
What does that tell us all? You be the judge.
That you should go to anchor.fm/mkpodquest/support.
Or
plug the other one.
5 stars on your streaming service of choice, or buy Neil a chair, or just free us. Pay us $1,000 and we'll never do this again.
No, changing that deal to $1,000 each.
I'll take $500.
$1,000 for me, $500 for Corey, final offer. All right. So yeah, that's the future of the show. We're going to cover the entire four-part crossover. We're going to then finish off Defenders of the Realm, and we're going to dive into some, I'll say it, better Mortal Kombat shit. But for now, I think, what do we do here?
We're just going to go.
Oh, shit.
We're just going to leave.
Our magic orb just fell through a magic portal. We need to start chasing it through the realm.
I bought a big keychain the other day.
Okay.
With the express intent of putting it on the orb. And I bought a really big carabiner for the big keychain. And I was going to put it on my pants so I couldn't lose the orb. But the orb doesn't really have like a natural spot to to like keychain. With
a little eyelet hook fell off.
Yeah, and I was gonna put, I didn't put the new one in yet. Now we fucking lost the orb.
God damn it, Corey. Just and it's an orb. It's just gonna roll away.
Billy Eyelet.
And I know you live up. You live above above ground level.
Yeah.
Probably just rolled down those stairs.
I know you live above ground level, dude. I can hear it in your fucking voice.
Couldn't find the word. For at least a second story.
House 2, above ground level.
All right, let's get out of here. Thank you again, Danny, Dave, Jay, Josh, Yassine, Paul, Dakota, for sending in all those voice messages. You guys rule. Links to all your stuff down in the episode description. Subscribe to Combat Time. Subscribe to Next Issue Podcast. Subscribe to Grin Reaper's Cheap Shots. Say hi to Paul when you see him on the street. He's a solid dude.
Subscribe to Big Zero's Big Door.
Go Instagram.com/egress-to-gram. go follow Big Zero's Big Doors.
Or is it Thick Doors?
It's Thick Zero's Thick
there
Doors.
There it is.
Right, but that's what it is.
That's our joke. Kentaro's smoking addiction.
Donate to our Ko-Fi.
buy Kintaro a lot of Nicorette. He has four arms. Those patches have to go somewhere.
He needs a lot of patches and lozenges. Should we plug some stuff?
Yeah, sure. The season two finale of the other podcast that I do, they made another one, which Neil has been on. I do it with my friends Mitch and Liam. We talk about reboots and remakes and sequels and whatnot. Is out now. You can check that out. They made another on Twitter. They made another one on all your podcast services, TMAO on Letterboxd. And I'm at Mr. Corey Price on Twitter and Letterboxd as well. And our second anniversary is also coming up, so stay tuned for that. We'll have a big old retrospective coming up for you.
Hell yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Final Neil. Find me on Instagram at Final Neil Retro, where I post all my dumb video games that I own. It's a lot of them. Subscribe to the podcast in your podcast app. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on social media at MK Podquest on Twitter and Instagram. Rate and review us 5 stars. And keep being cool. Mortals. All right, I'm done.
Bye.